Good morning. It's good to see all of you. Look good. And Matthew looks good, doesn't he? He's going to be our speaker, Lord willing, next Sunday night. He's in from Denver, going to school up there. It's great to see him. I told him, I said, got a slight issue. You're Matthew, but I'm giving you Luke to read. And of course, Luke's his brother. Luke should have got Matthew to read or something like that. I don't know how that works, but I want to reiterate what Titus was saying in inviting dads to take part in camp as leaders. You won't regret it. If you take the time and make the effort, it will pay back big dividends. I've done that a number of years, and I'm glad he's asking for dads and not grandpas, but I shouldn't have said anything, huh? But it's a fantastic work, and it's one of the most spiritual times your young people will have all year long, and it's, I believe, one of our most evangelistic works is our summer camps, because our kids are, it's just an environment of gospel, an environment of the Lord's people, an environment of the Lord's word, and the influence that is there is fantastic. And young men need older men. They're desperately in need in our present culture of older men to lead the way and to show what it's like to be a man of God. So if you can do that, please do it. Give it some thought, give it some prayer. I know you'll benefit from it, and you won't be sorry. The seed of the kingdom. There are ideas in the parables, and I thought I'd like to talk about some of those ideas. And so this is one lesson we're going to talk about this morning, just about the seed. Probably everyone here, maybe not, but I would think most everybody here is familiar with this parable of a sower going forth to sow. And it's almost like he's a little irresponsible. He seems to have a bag that's bottomless with seed, and he's throwing that stuff everywhere. Did you notice where the seed went? Some of it went on the wayside soil. Well, you're not going to grow anything on the wayside soil, and anybody who knew anything about sowing seed in the first century would have known it's not going to do any good there, but he sowed it on the wayside. Some of it landed there. Some of it landed in the rocky places. It's interesting. The seed that landed in the rocky places sprang up, but it didn't last long. And then some of it landed in the thorns. Well, you don't plant good seed in thorny places, but that's what's in the parable. And that seed also sprang up, but then it got choked out by the thorns, and Jesus said that was the cares of the world. There's more to the parable than what I had Matt read for us, so let's go back to the text. This is Luke chapter 8. We'll pick it up at verse 9. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now this parable is this. The seed is the word of God. There it is, the seed of the kingdom. The seed is the word of God. Jesus is pretty clear about that. This is a guy throwing out the word of God. Some of that word of God lands on wayside places, and it doesn't have any benefit there. Some of it lands in rocky places, and it takes root, but not for long. And some of it lands in thorny places, and it looks great for a while and till the cares of the world come up. But some of it lands where? Some of it lands in the good soil. Some of it lands in the good soil. Now, typically, we study this parable, and we think of it in terms of evangelism, and that's exactly what we should do. But it's not just evangelism to a lost world, it's evangelism to me. I hope you'll think of this parable like that. Because this seed is powerful stuff. And this seed is, of course, meant to bring salvation to the entire world. But it's also meant to bring salvation to me and to you as an individual, and not just by way of bringing us into Christ, where we'll be blessed for eternity, but by way of changing us, making us different than what we are now. Would you like to be different than what you are now? You don't have to raise your hand. If you don't want to be different from what you are now, you're not paying attention. And this seed not only can do that, it does do that. I brought a sermon illustration. I was going to have somebody help me bring it up because it's so big. You see that little dark speck? Shake your heads, no. It's in there, trust me. I'll show it to you later. I'll pull it out. There it is. Can you see it now? You can't see it now? You know what that is? That's an apple seed. You know what's inside that? You look real close. There's an apple tree in there. Stand back. It's going to come busting out of there any minute. That's hilarious. You know what I'm saying? I can't figure it out. And how many times have you thought about the same thing we're thinking about right now? How does God do that? When you read Genesis chapter 1, what does it say 10 times? It says 10 times everything that is living reproduces after its kind. How does it do that? How does God bring about life and put life in a seed, in this seed? You know what you do with the seed? You put it in the ground. You remember reading about Johnny Appleseed, went all over the country planting apple tree seeds and growing apples because he was thinking about the people who were coming later? That's a great story. You put that thing in the ground, you put some sunshine on that ground, and you put a little water on it, and that seed will germinate because it has life in it. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but it does. And you know that it works. That's why you can go to the store and buy apples today and every other kind of fruit. God put it in there, and it's powerful. Life. Can't explain it, can't define it. Science can't do it. I'm going to put this away before I lose it because this is really valuable. There's a whole tree in there. And what's on that tree? More apples. And what's in those apples? More seed. This is the way God created things, to just keep it going and going and going. This is the way God is with life. He wants life to keep going and going and going. That's the way it is here on planet Earth. Planet Earth is not going to last forever, but life will. You will. You're made to be eternal. But Jesus says in this parable, the seed represents the Word of God. And that Word of God comes into our minds, into our hearts. And if we're willing to let that Word stay there and think about that Word and try to allow God to change us with that Word, your life will be better in every single way. In every way that God changes you, you will be better. In every way that God changes you, your life will be better. In every way that God changes you through the seed of His Word, everybody around you will benefit because of the light that will shine from you, the saltiness that you'll have. It all comes together. And it's based on this seed and the life that's in the seed that we can't figure out, but God has put it there and it works this way. That's the way seed is. And the seed of the kingdom of God is the Word of God. And so that Word needs to be preached, but it doesn't simply need to be preached out there to the world. It needs to be preached to me. And I'm the best preacher to me. I don't know if you've ever thought about yourself like that, but you're the one who tells yourself what to do. Have you noticed that? I know when you're young, you think it's your mom and your dad, and they do a lot of that, but eventually, you know why your mom and dad are telling you what to do? The idea is that you'll grow up, and when you grow up, you'll be able to tell yourself what to do, and you'll tell yourself the right stuff because you learned it from mom and dad. That's why God said one of those Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and listen to your mom and your dad. They're planting seed in you, and that seed will bring forth life. That's what we do. We plant ideas. We plant thoughts. And I don't know about you, but when I look into the Word of God, into that Word of God that is the seed, I'm challenged every time I do it. Because I see things in there that, well, I don't quite measure up. I don't know about you. I read those passages, and you don't have to go far. Sermon on the Mount's a pretty good place right there. What did Jesus say to do if somebody slaps you on the cheek? We know. We know. He said, turn the other cheek. Now the question arises in my mind, am I going to do that? See, the seed's been planted. The very idea that he says to do that, that plants in my mind the idea, well, that's what he wants me to do. That's a pretty strong conclusion to draw. I think it's pretty solid to make that case. And if that's not solid enough, look what he says to do when somebody steals from you. What are you supposed to do when somebody steals something from you? You give them something else. That's what Jesus says to do. And I'm thinking about this, and my flesh is going, no, I ain't. That's my flesh. My flesh doesn't want to listen to Jesus. My flesh wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to take care of itself in the way that it wants to take care of itself. But when I read the Word of God, there's another way of life there. That's what this is all about. It's about a way of life, a way of living. A way of living that's not just for here. This isn't about self-improvement. I know we're talking about things that will improve us, but it's not about self-improvement. What this is about is you and me growing into the image of Almighty God. That's really what this is about. And so he gives us his word, and everything reproduces after its kind. And if we believe his word, and we pay attention to his word, and if we do his word, we begin to be changed into the image of Almighty God. I think it's amazing that he would even allow us to think that idea that we could do something that would make us like him. But that's the whole point of it. That's the whole point, unapologetically. He gives us his word. And the whole point of that word is to change us so that something will grow in us that wasn't there before. And the longer you read about turning your other cheek, but here's the thing. You don't know what you're going to do until what happens. Until somebody slaps you. That's when you know what you'll do. And maybe that'll happen. And you'll recall that passage of Scripture, but you won't do it that time. Because it really hasn't taken root in you yet. But here's what can happen. And this happens in other ways with other passages and other teachings. You fail to do what Jesus says, and then what happens inside of you? Remorse. Guilt. God, I didn't do what I should have done. I know what Jesus said to do. What's going to follow? You know what's going to follow. I didn't do what Jesus said to do, but I did what I wanted to do. That's the way it works out all the time. And somehow the seed has not quite come to fruition. But it's still there because you haven't pushed it out. It's still there. You ever plant seed in your yard trying to get grass to grow? If you've done that, well, maybe you're like me. You go back out the next day. It don't work like that. If you want that, go buy sod. But that's cheating because somebody else has already put the seed in and grown the grass, and now they're just cutting it out and transplanting it. That's all they're doing. But you want to grow it. You want to grow the grass. You got to put the seed in. Have you noticed that's the only way to get grass? Even the guys who sell you the sod, that's how they got the grass. They had to put the seed in the ground. If you want to be like God, if you want your life to have the benefits that come to you from being like God. And by the way, nothing else will give you the benefits but the Word of God. You got to get that Word of God. Get it in you. And you got to think about it. You got to eventually come around to the idea that you're going to do that. But how many of us, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I just wondered if I did ask for a show of hands, how many of us are going to come to our graves having allowed every seed that the Word of God puts in our hearts to grow to fruition? I don't think very many of us. And God knows that. But he still throws that seed out there. And he says, here, I want you to think about this. First of all, I want you to think about my son. I want you to think about the fact that he died and he shed his blood to cover your sin. What do you think about that? Well, I know probably most of you are here this morning because you've already thought that through and you said, I want that. And you put your faith in Jesus and you repented of your sin, you repented of your lack of faith in Christ, you confessed his name. Somebody lowered you in the water of baptism, just like the New Testament teaches, and they brought you back up and you rose to walk in what kind of life? New life, because you're a new creature, because the seed of God has been planted in your heart and it's taken fruit and you've done something with that. Praise be to God that he would even allow us to do that, but he does, and he brings us into his kingdom and he puts his spirit in us, and then he says, start taking in some more of that seed. That's good stuff. Things will grow in you that aren't there now and that haven't grown yet. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter, by the way, where was Peter when Jesus told that parable? Well, he was standing right there. Peter heard that. And this is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Where did Peter get the idea that the Word of God was seed? And the answer to that is, duh, from his Lord. It's living, it's abiding. And then he quotes Old Testament scripture. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers. The flower falls off. But the word of the Lord, what's it do? It endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. This word that lasts forever was preached to you, Peter says. So he says in chapter 2, verse 1, therefore putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You ever fed a baby? Tiny little baby? We've got a brand new one in our midst. Those little babies, I remember ours, get that bottle and put it down there, and if they sense what's coming, the little mouth will open. And go, oh, come on, come on. And you can tease them. You can touch it on their nose. They go, oh, oh, here we go. All the things that a baby can't do, they know when the milk is coming. And then you plop that thing in there. They just collapse that whole bottle, man. They suck it so hard. They love that milk. That's what they're made for. And Peter's talking about you and me. Be like a little baby. Long for the sincere, pure milk of the Word of God that you might do what? That you might grow thereby. And this is the way it works. It's new ideas, or it's ideas that maybe aren't new, but we haven't quite brought them into the system yet, so to speak. Because we're the good ground. That's what we're wanting to be. Don't you want to be good ground? Don't you want to produce? And he doesn't say it all produces a hundredfold. He says some 30, 60, 100-fold, different percentages, as the parable is told in different places. But you want that seed to bring forth fruit in you. You want it to change you. Peter's talking about that here. But Paul also talked about it in Romans chapter 12. This is the text we go to quite often. As a matter of fact, we were in Romans 12 last week, if you remember, talking about the gifts. But before we talked about the gifts, look at what it says in Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may, get this part now, you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now you might be thinking, that doesn't say anything about seed. Well, not necessarily about seed, but what does he talk about? But transformation. The only thing that'll transform you and me. And then, why do you think Paul had already written what we now call 11 chapters before he got to this one? He was writing the Word of God, the transformative Word of God. He was putting the seed out there to change us, to transform us. And he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your physique. You need to do some calisthenics, Marty. Well, maybe so, but that's not what Paul said. By the renewing of your hairdo. Now, you know that's not for me. I guess I could grow the back out long and do a ponytail kind of a thing. You want me to try something like that? I see that. I'm not against, you know, different hairstyles, but sometimes I think if you're going to wear that hairdo, you need to be carrying a samurai sword. Because those two things kind of go together. Anyway, whatever it might be, Paul's not talking about those kind of things on the surface. He's talking about down deep, a transformation that takes place in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking so deeply, so profoundly that it changes the way you talk. And it changes the way you think, and it changes the way you behave. That's what he's talking about. This is the power that's in the Word of God. So we listen to it. We hear it. And sometimes what do? We walk away. It's like James said, the guy who walks away. But James also talked us about, James said this. I'm jumping around to a few different scriptures, but I want you to know that this idea of the seed and the power of it and the changing power of the Word of God is in here. James says this in James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, which that sounds a lot like what 1 Peter just said, isn't it? In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Now, who's James talking to? He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to the church. He's talking to Christians, people who have already embraced the gospel, put their faith in Christ. They're Christians, they're saints. And he says, receive the word implanted, you who are already saved. That's what I need to do continually in my life. Receive the word implanted. You need to do that as well. Receive the word implanted. This is the idea that Jesus is giving to us when he says the seed is the word of God. It's not just for evangelism to bring people to Christ. It's for evangelism to make me more like Christ. One last text and we'll bring this lesson to its conclusion. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. You ever read much about the church at Corinth? Boy, they had a lot of problems. They're not like us. They were really, oh boy, they were a mess. They're not good Christians like we are. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this day, at the reading of the old covenant. Nope. Okay, stop and think a minute. The reading of the old covenant. What is that? Is that the word of God? Well, if that's the word of God, isn't that the seed that Jesus was talking about? If it's the word of God, it's seed. And that's what Paul is talking about here. The word of God was being read. He said the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, whenever the seed is being scattered, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. He's talking about the Word of God being read and how we respond to it. Moses, have you ever tried to picture Moses in your mind coming down off that mountain? I know you've probably seen the Ten Commandments. Good old Charlie coming off that hill. Charlton Heston, that's who I'm talking about. One of my favorite actors. Played Moses in the Ten Commandments. But what would it have been like to be there when Moses comes off that mountain? He's been with God. What's he been receiving from God? His word. And he comes down off that mountain and his face is shining. It's glowing so much that people are scared to death. Oh, man, cover that up. And I said it before, I'll say it again. If they realized what they were looking at, they would have said, let's take this guy everywhere. Let me get close to that so some of that light can shine from me. That's really what they should have been thinking. But what did they want? Put a veil over it, Moses. We don't want to see that. It scares us to death. Sometimes people say that today still. You're trying to live a Christian life. You're trying to do the right thing, and people say, put a veil over that. You're cramping my style. Don't put a veil over it. Let that word of God live in you. Let it bring forth fruit abundantly, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, however many fold you can fold in there. Let it have its weight in you. Here's the challenge I want to offer you for this week. I want you to look into the Word of God, and you probably already know where you'll go to find it, because it's whatever teaching Jesus provides that challenges you the most. It may be something about humility. Maybe you're challenged, you know you need more humility in your life. Maybe you know you need more joy, and that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and you don't have much joy in your life. Why not? And maybe you don't have much love for your fellow man and compassion for others. Find a teaching of Jesus that challenges you, and the first thing I want you to do with that is talk to the Lord about it. Just tell him, Lord, I know what you say here. You know I know what you say here, and you know I'm struggling with this. There's not a person in here who couldn't pray that prayer, because every one of us have something in there that we look at and we go, well, I'm glad there's somebody else that'll do that because I'm not going to. And that's what we do, and we're challenged by it. I want you to find the most challenging thing you can think of in the Word of God and go to that, and read that, study that, but first of all, talk to God about it and ask him to help you along the way to be more transformed to that Word. Not conformed to the world, but transformed. Years ago, I had a bale of straw out in the backyard. And I was trying to grow grass in the yard. Well, you know what straw is. It's wheat. And sometimes in the wheat, there's other stuff, just like Jesus told the parable about the wheat and the tares. But there were all kinds of seeds in that bale, and somehow that bale got busted open. Seeds got scattered around. Things started growing in my yard I didn't want to grow in my yard. I had to do some digging. I had to get that stuff out of there. Maybe that's what you and I'll have to do. Maybe we'll have to dig out some of the wrong seeds that have been planted to make room for the right seeds. But whatever it is, whatever teaching it is that challenges you, I want you to go to that this week. Talk to God about it, study about it, read about it. Make every effort you can to learn how to do that so that you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that the seed of the Word of God will take root in you in a way maybe it's never taken root before, and you'll be changed. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Word. Where would we be without that to guide us, to show us, to teach us? How would we know about your love? How would we know about your compassion? How would we know about the mercy that you've provided for us and the grace that you've extended to us? So many other things you teach us. Help us, each one of us, this week to consider the most challenging teaching you have for us and to draw closer to you that we might be transformed in the way we think and the way we behave. Help us, Father, to do just that. We ask you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, perhaps the seed of the Word of God's come into your heart to the point where you're ready to obey the gospel. This would be a great time to do that. We do have water. There was only one cricket in it last week, and he's gone. So we've got water. We're ready. Perhaps the Word of God has come into your heart to the point where you know you need some prayers, and we'll be glad to help you with that. Whatever your need might be this morning, we're here to help. Let's stand and sing the invitation song together.